Reformed Church.
Pastor Mike had shared for pre-service. Actually, you might have seen actually an article that we put out first regarding the situation with Charlie Kirk and all that happened. And then he also shared pre-service, apart from the little blurb that we put out there on Facebook and on some of the social media. He also shared a little something. And I just wanted to just share something quickly with you before the teens went up. You know, there is there's something that the Lord started doing in us a long, long time ago, right? And that was years ago, there was something kind of stirring up on the inside of us to just want to know truth. You know, I had gotten so tired of just doing things because other people do them. Like I always used to say initially, you know, it's a funny thing when you go to a church where people like raise their hands when they're worshiping, which is, who cares, right? With raise your hand, leave them down, it doesn't matter. But it's funny that we always used to joke around how, you know, people put their hands up so people don't know like why they're doing that. So everybody just starts putting their hands up. You don't know why exactly people are doing stuff, but you just do things and you mimic things because other people do them, right? And then there's a thing, you know, where people would say amen, you know, like as it, you know, when they agree with something, and sometimes they say it right in the middle of anything, but and then people start doing that. So there was, you know, there's just a lot of things that people just do just because other people do them. But a long time ago, the Lord put a desire on the inside of us not to just follow the group, follow the mob, follow the multitude, right? But, you know, sometimes, you know, following the multitude you can end up somewhere okay, but the majority of the time, following the multitude is not really where you want to be. So the Lord had put that desire on the inside of us. But what that has brought us to, you know, even to this present day, is just, you know, a realization of so much good that the Lord has done. And you know, being really at a place where even if a large part of the people that you know disagree with the way that you see a situation, that should never, ever dissuade you or make you ever feel ashamed of truth, right? Because you know, at the end of it all, that's all that really matters is truth, right? I would rather live in truth and live within a very small sphere of people than to live in deception and just be walking around deceived like everybody else. Now, the truth is, all of the church, you know, the true church of Jesus Christ, right, has seen the goodness of God, right? Has seen the goodness of God. But because of, you know, the unpopularity of certain truths of the Lord, you know, a lot of times the church is willing to just kind of accept the norm, meaning what is normal in the world as what is true versus what the Lord has said, right? And with us, it's the exact opposite, right? I would rather believe what the Lord says and just stay on his side, right, than to ever side with anything just because people find it uncomfortable, unpopular, especially today, right? People are very afraid today. Extremely, believe me, this is like very widespread in this country and almost around the world. People are very afraid to speak things that they believe to be true because they're very concerned about offending people, right? Very concerned about offending people. People actually will actually not share the gospel with people because they don't want to offend their beliefs, right? And really, you know, in the long run, that is actually hating people, right? To not tell somebody something that will save their life, to not share something with someone that'll give life to them, instead you'll leave them in death because supposedly you don't want to offend. A lot of that is also wrapped up in fear. But here's what I wanted to share with you. There is a very clear position that we have on death, right? And this is not, believe me, it's not news to anyone. I don't even think, honestly, that what I'm going to share with you now is news to the world, to people that don't even know Jesus, really. But here is the truth about death, right? Jesus does not, well, let me just say from even God the Father's perspective, right? The Father's desire is that people would not die. That is not anything earth-shattering to anyone, right? Same way, if you have a child, right, You don't desire, I mean, I don't think there's a single parent, right, that is on the face of the earth, right, that desires their child to die, right? That's not. There is not a parent alive that wishes death on their children. How do we ever think that we, being, like, people without the Lord, being evil, in other words, unbelieving, right, know how to desire good things for our children? How much more would our Heavenly Father, right, that desired to show us His goodness openly, not have given us a way to be able to escape the death and the decay and the corruption that's in this world, right? And the church, in many little respects, believes it, right? They believe in the Lord's protection, right? At least we say we do, right? We believe in the Lord's protection. We believe that the Lord can heal you from sickness and disease. And I understand there's this whole, even though the church believes, yeah, like, God wants me well, you know, that's not hard to believe because I want my children well. If I want my children well, how could God not want all of His children well, right? The desires that I have just come from the love of God, right? So in, just to share this with you very quickly, in 2 Kings chapter 7, and this is obviously not, when you read 2 Kings chapter 7, this is not the subject of 2 Kings chapter 7, but it just really made me think of it. In 2 Kings chapter 7, in verse number 2, in verse number 1, Elijah, these people are in the middle of a famine, right? Famine, and they're being besieged. Now, what that means from a biblical perspective, to be besieged, is that what they would do is that an army would surround the city. And they're not attacking the city. They would just surround the city. And they would now not allow anything to come out and anything to go into the city. So they're not hurting people physically in that respect directly. They just don't allow anything out or in. Now, obviously, what happens is eventually people may be eating well, just like they did yesterday. But eventually, if you besiege people for long enough, they will starve, right? They will run out of resources. They will run out of food. They will run out of things, right? And that's really where the people of Israel were. They were being besieged, and the prophet came. And obviously, you know, the Lord sent prophets in order so that the people of Israel would believe in the Lord and believe in their Messiah that was to come. So the Lord sent Elijah, and Elijah says in verse number 1, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow by this time, a seah," which is about 8 gallons of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs, which would be 16 gallons of barley, for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, obviously, that was very shocking to people, and no one was going to believe that. These people are eating donkeys' heads and birds' poop. This is what they're down to eating, and it was expensive to buy it. Like, to buy a donkey's head at that time was a lot of money, right? And to buy bird dung was also very costly because that's all that people had to eat, right? So when the prophet stands up and speaks the word of the Lord, and he says, by tomorrow, he's not saying in a year, he's not saying in a month, he's not saying in a couple of years. He's saying to them, tomorrow, by tomorrow, they will be an abundance of all things. Now, it says in verse number 2 that an officer whose hand the king leaned on, or a consultant to the king, answered the man of God. So this was the answer to this man who had the king's ear. This is how he answered the prophet. He said, look, if the Lord made windows in heaven, he said, could this thing be? If he would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, then the prophet answered to him, he said, you shall see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it, right? And that part of the verse right there, it made me think of, you know, the things that we have seen, the goodness of God that he has manifested and demonstrated to the earth. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross was not the manifestation of the goodness of God for the church. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross for the sins of the world was on display for the world to see, right? It wasn't for a select number of people to see. It's so that the goodness of God, who has always been good, so that his goodness would be apparent to everyone. So it's not just that people would say that God is good, but that they can see the goodness of God. Well, you know, sometimes we see, right? But because of unbelief, we're not active partakers and participants of the inheritance of the Lord. We get saved and we believe in Jesus, and then we live the rest of our life on this earth just like anybody else does, right? Which is obviously not the desire of God. And then if you jump down to all the way to verse number 8, And I'll end this little piece so we can dismiss the teens. In verse number 8, it says that there were four lepers. And in verse number 8, it says when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, it says they went into one tent. And sorry, just to catch you up, sorry. The four lepers are there, and they say, you know what, we're going to die. Why don't we go out to the camp and see what we find, kind of thing, right? So they're just seeking for food and for help. And it says that when they went to the outskirts of the camp, they came into one tent, and they had seen, this is the camp where the Assyrians were encamped, and they see no Assyrians, right? The Syrian army wasn't even there. So they begin to eat, and they begin to drink, and they begin to carry from the tent silver and gold and clothing, and they hid all these artifacts. And then they came back, and they entered another tent, and they carried some there also, and they went in and hid it. So these are feebled men, right? Sick men. But what they do is they see their inability to do anything, right? And they find themselves, these same men who were ready to die, they find themselves being able to go without money, without price, without resources, without even strength, right? These are four men who are sick men, right? Having nothing at all, they were able to eat and drink, right? And buy, and without any money and without price, right? And that's what Isaiah 55 says, that you know, all of us obviously need Jesus because we're just unable, right? We're unable to be good. We're unable to be righteous. We're unable to do the things that we want to do. The way people normally live is even the things that they want to do, they can't fully fulfill and can't understand why it is that even though I want to do these good things, I just don't do them. Right? Bottom line. So it says that they were able to eat and drink. And this is something interesting, and I think it pertains very much to us, right? In verse number 9, it said they said to one another, and just in light, obviously, of all the stuff that we're talking about with Charlie Crook, this is what I thought was important. It says they said to one another, we're not doing right. It says this day is a day of good news, and we remain silent, right? In other words, having the good news that we have, like, what are we supposed to do? Are we actually supposed to just, you know, keep this good news contained just to a small group of people? And don't really put it out there on social media. Don't really talk to other churches. Don't really talk to other pastors. Don't really talk to other believers, because we don't want, you know, to stir up trouble, and we don't want people to not like us, right? But the good news that we have, you know, the way to look at it is it's life to people. You know, living in the good news as it is this day, like the massive amount of good news and things that the Lord has taught this church over the last 15 years or so, right? Is that something for us to stay silent about, or is that something for us to be able to share and to speak to other people? So just wanted to share that with you so that knowing the things, right, that the Lord has been teaching us, that we wouldn't be those that would stay quiet and silent. You know what? Even if people don't like it, even if people don't agree with it, right, that's not a reason for us to remain quiet about the things that the Lord is teaching us, right? But all the opposite, right? To be able to be open to the Spirit of God. You know, but when you see the things that the prophets would speak, you know, so many of these prophets spoke, so many of them lived and spoke in times where their voice, they actually felt, a lot of them felt like they were the only ones saying it, even though they weren't, right? They felt like they were the only ones saying it. So it's just something to keep in mind. There is, sometimes you would be made to feel like the God of this world would want you to make you feel like a grasshopper in the sight of opposition or popular opinion. But you know what? The fact that the Lord agrees with the things that we say, right? That's nothing to be ashamed of. That's something to be able to stand up and to speak as the Lord is speaking. And I know it's not a very popular way to say it, but you know what? If people like it, great. You give them an opportunity to believe it. If people reject it, then they reject it, right? I mean, what God can't make them believe. We can't make them believe, right? You just put it out there so that people will receive it, and you give them the opportunity, and that's all that we have to do, right? Just give the people the opportunity, the fair and right opportunity right? To give them an opportunity to believe, right? That the Lord wants people to live, right? The Lord wants to raise up Charlie Kirk like he wants to raise up every person today that finds themselves, right? Finds themselves in a grave, right? Their spirit is with the Lord, but a body that has decayed, right? The Lord wants to raise that up, right? It's the truth, whether people like it or not, it is, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.